Open your Bible to Psalm chapter 7. Psalms chapter 7. What does the Bible say about integrity? No, the word integrity, according to Scripture, means moral uprightness. It means to be morally mature. It means to be morally innocent. It is the opposite of the word compromise. So it means to be all that we would think of. We think of someone as being godly, as being right. Integrity, it has to do with your inner character, about who you really are on the inside. So why is integrity important? Notice what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 7. Everybody find that. And then let's look at verse 8. Psalm 7. And look at verse 8. David said, "The Lord shall judge the people." He says, "Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me." David said, "Lord, judge me according to my integrity." If the Lord were to judge you according to yours, how would you fare? From this we learn, number one, integrity defines to others who we are. Your integrity says who you are. It's talking about, are you real? Can you be depended on to do the right thing? I mean, under all kinds of circumstances, can you be depended on to do the right thing? That's integrity. When you think of someone and you someone tells you that they've been presented with this challenge, whether or not you believe they will pass that depends on what you think of their integrity. And if you feel like they have real integrity, you say, "I just know that they're going to do the right thing. I just believe they are." Because integrity defines who you are. If your integrity is for sale, then you don't have much integrity, do you? If whoever gives you the highest bucks gets your support, your integrity is not very strong. So integrity defines to others who we are. Why is integrity important? Number two, turn to Job chapter 2. Turn back left from the book of Psalms. Go to the book of Job. And look at chapter 2. We're all familiar with Job, and so we'll just grab the reference. But Satan is, of course, attacking Job. But look at what it tells us in Job chapter 2. Look at verse 3. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect, upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity? Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." A lot's happening in Job's life and everything is turned south. We're given privy to information Job wasn't. We know why Job did not know why. All he knows is that he's trying to do the right thing. And instead of everything going great for him, everything is going bad for him. And yet God said to Satan, "I know that even though you are moving me against him," he said, "I know that he is going to hold to his integrity." So from this we learn, number two, integrity determines how we react in certain situations where we have choices to do right or wrong. It is your integrity. I mean, certainly Job could choose, Satan is betting that Job will curse God to his face. Satan's money is on the fact that if things go bad for him, all of a sudden his praise for God will turn to curses. And the reason why Satan was so convinced of that is because that is so true so very frequently. As long as things are going our way, then we have this great faith in God. But when we go through a period of time when things are not going so well, then it's very easy for us to turn on God, isn't it? What is it that keeps us from doing that? What causes us when we're in a when we're tempted, when we're in a trial, when we are faced with a choice and we can do the right thing or we can do the wrong thing? And sometimes the wrong thing has greater values, at least at the moment. Sometimes doing the wrong thing would ensure you of getting the promotion instead of someone else. Sometimes doing the wrong thing will get you by, whereas telling the truth is going to get you into trouble. So why would a person say, yes, I did that? When there's no way they can prove you did that unless you say so. Why would a person do something that obviously is not in their best interest? Only one thing, and that's integrity. When a person has integrity, they will do right. And God says here of Job, he said, I know that Job will make the right choice because he will hold to his integrity. Why is integrity important? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. We live in a world today that sort of believes and practices situation ethics. That whatever is normally the right thing to do might not always be the right thing to do. And that if it better benefits you to tell a lie, or if it better benefits you to do somebody else wrong, if you gain some kind of benefit by doing something immoral or something that's downright wrong, who can blame me? That's called situation ethics. But integrity means that that right is not determined by what best benefits us. There is a right and there is a wrong. And integrity means even if I suffer, even if it causes me pain, even if I might lose something in the short term, I'm going to stay with my integrity because I believe that God will reward it in the long term. And so here in 1 Kings, notice what it tells us in 1 Kings chapter 9, in verses 4 and 5, Solomon has now followed David to the throne. And the Lord is speaking to Solomon. And Solomon has prayed this beautiful, powerful prayer. And God is responding to this prayer. The Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, verse 3, and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house and which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And he said, verse 4, and if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father. There shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. Notice also, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. God said to Solomon, if you have got the same integrity as your father has, and if you'll be faithful and true to that integrity, God said, I will bless you and those that follow you. Look in chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles 17. David is just praising God. Look at what he says. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 17, as we're nearing the end of David's life. He said, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, he says, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. He says, in the uprightness of mine heart. Notice from this we learn, why is integrity important? Because number three, integrity pleases God. Integrity pleases God. God said, Solomon, if you will walk in integrity of heart like your father did, then I will bless you. Here, David said, Lord, we know that, he said, that you have pleasure in uprightness. You like it. You like integrity. God likes to see good in us. When we see our children do the right thing, even though sometimes it might not be the most effective thing for them at the moment, aren't we proud of them? Maybe your child has come in and told you something they didn't have to tell you, but it bothered them, and it made your heart feel so full, did it not, that their little heart, their conscience was bothered, and you're so proud of them that they wanted to come and make it right. That's integrity. When they tell you the truth, even though they know that that is self-incriminating, that is integrity. When you see them put their own self-interest aside in order to benefit someone else, that is integrity. And so the Bible tells us that why is integrity so important? Well, because it pleases God. God likes to see it. And then I want you to notice number four. Turn to Genesis chapter 20. Why is integrity important? Now, the world doesn't do much integrity teaching anymore. Selfishness is rewarded. Even lying. Taking things sometimes that's not ours. But God still is impressed with us when we have show integrity. Genesis chapter 20. Look in verses 5 and 6. Abraham was a man that God had chosen. Abraham was a man of faith. But even Abraham can make some missteps. And the Bible tells us that Abraham was fearful because his wife, Sarah, was a beautiful woman. And they came into this very powerful king's territory, and Abraham was afraid that the king would look at his wife and want her to be his wife and just have Abraham killed. And so Abraham said, I want you to tell him you are my sister. Now, she was his half-sister. And so there was a little bit of truth. You know, a lot of times the devil tells us it's okay to dance around the truth. What does that mean? Well, I didn't lie to him. I might have danced around the truth a little bit. What does that mean? It meant you purposely misled him, doesn't it? And that's a lie. But God is involved. And look at what happens. Look what happens in verse 3. It says, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, behold, thou art but a dead man. Boy, how would you like that to happen? You're dead, buddy. You're a dead man walking. Thou art a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and in the innocency of my hands have I done this. God, I did not know there was anything happening here. I did not know this was innocent. My heart is clean and pure in this matter. Now look at what it says. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know. Yes, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. I know that in your heart you did not know. But notice this, and this is powerful. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Thank God for that. How many times has God's grace withheld us in that moment? Thank God for His watch care. And folks, that is one of the reasons why you desperately must keep your personal walk with God where it should be. You see, when you are staying close to God, that little gentle prompting of God is enough. When you let yourself become cold and calloused, you'll miss that. And you'll fall right into the traps. That's why it's important for you to have a daily Bible time with God. That's why it's important that you have a personal prayer life where you talk to Him and you listen to Him. You want to stay so close to God that just every little gentle breeze of God, you feel it. God said to him, He said, "Yes, I know that you have integrity of heart. And I know that in the innocency of your hands," He said, "I know that." He said, I have also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. I did not allow you to touch her because," He's saying, "because of the integrity of your heart." From this we learn, number four, integrity demonstrates your spiritual condition, and a lack of integrity reveals a spiritual problem. You see that? Let me say that again. Integrity demonstrates your spiritual condition. And a lack of integrity reveals a spiritual problem. Now, folks, we got to set up a watch on our own heart. And you know yourself pretty well. And whenever you begin to notice a deficiency in integrity, when you find yourself being more willing to do what in your heart of hearts you know is wrong, that is a gauge on your spiritual dashboard saying to you, you've got a spiritual deficiency. You need to get on your knees more. You need to spend more time in your personal devotions. You've got to define your walk with God more because you're drifting away. When you find yourself losing your integrity, when you find yourself yielding where you once would not, when you find yourself with an attitude problem where once you did not have an attitude problem, those are all indicators that there's a spiritual problem in your life. And so from this we learn then that integrity demonstrates your spiritual condition, and a lack of integrity reveals a spiritual problem. Number two, what will integrity do for me? Might as well go ahead and head on because that's what folks are thinking. What's in it for me? Yeah. I do this, how am I going to come out? Well, what does the Bible say? Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Look at Proverbs chapter 20. Look at verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Now, from this we learn, what will integrity do for me? Number one, integrity will bless your life. Integrity will bless your life. Doing the right thing. The Bible tells us that your children will benefit because of your integrity. You know, I wonder how many times our children, we don't have lessons, I don't think, probably, and teach them, okay, I want you to lie here. I want you to use this little business shenanigan over here. And I want you to cheat this person over here. We probably don't have those lessons. But our children are observing, are they not? And they love us and they make excuses for us. But in their heart of hearts, they're copying, aren't they? And when we show a lack of integrity in our lifestyle, in the things we say, the things we do, the way we treat others, they're watching. Now, one day, that lack of integrity is going to come forth in them, and it's going to break your heart. The Bible teaches us, what will integrity do for me? Integrity will bless your life. It will be a blessing to you for years to come. Notice number two. Look, turn to Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31. What does the Bible say about integrity? Job chapter 31. We're looking at what integrity will do for you. What are the benefits of integrity? Why is it that significant? Why is it so important that you do this? But look at what it tells us. Job chapter 31. And let's look at verse 6. He said, "Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity." Let me be weighed in an even balance. From this we learn, number two, integrity will judge your actions. You know, when you have integrity, integrity works in conjunction with conscience. And it will bother you. But the difference between integrity and conscience never does anything to praise. Conscience only condemns. And it's a mighty poor teacher that only condemns and never praises. We all know, I've used this expression a lot, but whenever we criticize or condemn an action in our children or those around us, that's like making a withdrawal. And you can't not withdraw unless you have not first deposited. Praising makes deposits. And these corrections, these criticisms that comes along, and all of that is a withdrawal. And so it's important that we make more deposits than we make withdrawals. Whenever we are, our integrity is more than just condemning you when you do wrong. Integrity makes you feel good when you do right. I mean, how many times have you been presented with a choice and you know that you could at least temporarily, if not longer than that, benefit yourself by doing this? And to be honest, you felt that temptation for a moment. But immediately your integrity says, no, you can't do that. Your conscience says that would bother you. You would feel horrible over that. And then your integrity said to you, yeah, and you, as you said, no, I can't do that. And then even though this was a denial of something that maybe you really wanted, you felt so good in your heart and soul because you knew you did the right thing. That's integrity. I'm saying that integrity, what will integrity do for me? Number two, integrity will judge your actions. It will cause you to stop and say, I cannot do this. Because that's not the kind of person that I am. I have more integrity than that. It is integrity that will cause you to examine what you do. Number three, turn to Psalm 25. What will integrity do for me? Psalm 25. Now look at what the psalmist said in Psalm 25. David said in verse 21, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." From this we learn, number three, what will integrity do for me? Integrity will protect you. Integrity will protect you. You know, I wonder how many people are, how many things that you do not face that you would be facing problems from were it not for your integrity. I mean, how many of you would have already been fired from your job because you were tempted, and maybe some other co-workers went that route, and you could have gone that route, But because of integrity, you chose not to do that. And you have your job today in this environment that's very difficult. Integrity. I wonder how many times people have been protected from getting involved in a lie because of integrity. Or maybe how many times you have been protected from getting involved in a slander simply because of your integrity. How many things have that you've been protected from that maybe were some illegality? You might be in a penitentiary today, but you did not do that. You did not go that route because of your integrity. What will integrity do for me? Integrity will protect you. Say that with me. Integrity will protect you. Number four, turn to Proverbs chapter 11. We're talking about integrity tonight. Moral uprightness. Moral completeness. We're talking about the opposite of compromise. We're talking about doing right. Even when it looks like that you are going to lose benefits because of it. Even when it means that you might not get what your way. Even when it means it might seem that it's even unfair. And you might even think, I deserve this. And this is not right. And this is not fair. But integrity says, I'm going to do right anyway. I don't want to, but I'm going to because it is right. That is integrity. But look at what it tells us in Proverbs chapter 11 and look at verse 3. It says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Now, from this we learn, what will integrity do for me? Number four, integrity will guide you. It will guide you to do the right thing. It will guide you. Number three, all right, then how do I get integrity? Turn to Psalm 26. Look at what David said. Psalm 26, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. He says, I have walked in mine integrity. What does that mean? How do I get integrity? It means we must pursue after it with our whole heart. I have walked after it. I have put it a part of my daily practice. He said, I have pursued it. It means to base your life on it. That's what it means to follow after it. Integrity. It means to desire to be with integrity. That's why, for example, you know, the world is so hard on Christian people. When a few of ours do what a whole bunch of theirs do, then the world wants to say that we're all the same thing. And certainly, we're all a work in progress. None of us are everything that we ought to be. And if you are looking for an opportunity to find a fault in somebody, you can always find it in a Christian. Watch them long enough. And everybody sometimes, because we all walk on feet of clay. Everybody makes a misstep. But there's a big difference in making a misstep and literally living in that lifestyle. And so the world, because they do not want to be judged, they do not want to be condemned, they do not want to have any pressure put on them to live by any higher standard than the one that they choose for themselves, then they watch us. And when someone makes a misstep, aha, and they write that in the sky, and they cross-reference it and make sure they never forget it, and they put that in your star by your name, and they will use that for the rest of their life as proof positive that Christians are no different than everybody else. That is not true. That is absolutely not true. I've pastored Christians for 40 years. And I've seen enough things to break my heart many, many times over. Many times I have sat down and looked and see somebody do something and think, what in the world? And sometimes I have felt so discouraged. Sometimes I've cried out to God, Lord, if preaching to these people this many years has not done any more than that, why am I doing this? But I've also seen enough victories to thrill my soul. And I've seen people go through choices and make right choices again and again and again and again. And I'm telling you that there is a big difference between God's crowd and the world's crowd. In what they do on regular fashion, what they are willing to almost present an award for, our people sometimes will shamefully fall into and hate it and despise it and wish they'd never been a part of it. That is the difference. How do I acquire it? How do I strengthen? How do I grow in my integrity? It's something that you've got to walk in. It's something that's got to be a part of your daily practice. Integrity in everything that you do. Integrity in how you treat people on the highway. Integrity in how you deal with people at the counter when you go to McDonald's and order a hamburger. And they bring everything else on it besides what you ordered. Integrity with how you deal with those folks around you, those that are older than you, those that are less fortunate than you, those who do not have the same opportunities that you have, those who have not been where you've been, seen what you've seen. Integrity is a lifestyle. And how do you grow in your integrity? By walking in it, by living it, by being real with this thing. That's integrity. And the more that we do it, the more that we practice it, the more it becomes a part of us. And many of you in this room have talked to me about how you once were. And by coming and getting in church and being a part of church and reading your Bible and listening to preaching and going to Sunday school class and all of this, day by day, thing after thing has changed in you. You have now begun to pursue integrity where once before it mattered so very little to you. How do you get it? How do you grow in it? Well, from this we learn, number one, we must pursue it with all of our heart. It's got to be something that you want. It's got to be something that means something to you. It's got to be important on your scale. It's got to be something that when you fail to show integrity, you're ashamed and it breaks your heart. We must pursue it with all of our heart. Number two, look in Proverbs chapter 19. What is integrity and how do I get integrity? Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19. Now look at verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. From this we learn, number 2, how do I get integrity? We protect it as valued treasure. He tells us here, he said, it's better, he said, to walk in your integrity. This is something that it's better to be poor. Because if you have integrity, you have great riches. That's what he's saying to us. He's telling us that we need to value it because like any treasure, it can be lost. It can be exchanged for something else. Don't sell your integrity. Don't give away your integrity. Don't play away your integrity. Don't out of carelessness allow your integrity to be downsized. How do I get integrity? By protecting it as a valued treasure. Number 3, turn to Psalm 26. Integrity. How do I get integrity? Look at Psalm 26 and look at verse 11. David said, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me, O Lord. How do I get integrity? Number three, we practice it in our daily doings. It's in every decision you make. Integrity is involved. When you have a transaction with someone, are you looking to take advantage of that person? There's integrity involved. It's in every decision. It's in every transaction that you make. It's in every relationship. In every relationship, integrity. It is integrity that causes you to do right by one another. How do I get integrity? By practicing it. The more that you show integrity, the more that you live integrity in your life, the more your integrity becomes a part of you. The stronger it becomes, the more rooted it becomes in your life, the more a natural part of your decision making. Integrity will guide you. There was a time in this country when a man's word was his bond. That was a part of his integrity. It meant more to a man to keep his word than to gain riches. That man would even forfeit his life if need be, rather than to go back on his word, because everything that he stood for as a man, he believed, was wrapped up in his word. And to challenge that word was to be the greatest of insults that you could give to him. There was a time when people would transact business in this country, major business, on nothing more than a handshake. I've seen my father go down to the gin and get a whole year's worth of furnishings for a farm. All the fuel, all the money to pay the laborers, the whole thing for an entire year. Get that furnishings at the first of the year, not pay that back until the following late November, early December. And I've seen my dad do it many times on a handshake right there. That's all it took. Boy, would you want to try that today with your business? That's integrity. I'm saying that integrity is something that we put into our daily life. It becomes a part of who we are. It helps us in every relationship, in every transaction, in every decision that we make. Number four, how do I get integrity? Look in Psalm 25. Psalm 25, and look at verse 21. David, in his prayer to God, a prayer for defense and for guidance and for pardon. Listen to what he says as he prays. He says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." How do I get integrity? Number four, we must pray for it. Pray. Pray, make it a part of your daily prayer. God, help me be real. Help me to do the right thing in everything I do. God, today as I go out into life, help me do the right thing. And the right thing is not what always benefits me the most. That's not always the right thing. Sometimes God wants me to be a benefit to somebody else. Amen? Sometimes God wants to use you to be a blessing to someone else. God, today, I ask you today, help me to always do the right thing. Pray for God to give you integrity. Let's bow our heads tonight.